From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 6th day of February 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Registration is now open for the All-Day Ag Outlook. Visit our website, WILLAG.org, to see the agenda and get yourself registered today. The cost is just $30 per ticket. Coming up in this afternoon, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss ARP versus RP as it relates to soybeans and the potential to garner a better guarantee using ARP in this season. Gary Schnittke will be here, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, and we'll take up the weather forecast too, that with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse out of Chicago on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you better tell me what happened in the grains pits today. In particular, I'd like to know a bit more about the oil seeds. Why were soybeans up 9 cents in the nearby contracts?
Well, it took a little bit to get started after the Super Bowl last night. I don't know if it wore everybody out or not, but after we got going there, there's some activity, but early activity started in the overnight session with some news that some policy changes could possibly take place in China. A major shift in agriculture policy was kind of the headline news, and talking about that the government will try to stabilize pork production, boost demand for dairy products, and find new ways to absorb China's massive grain stocks they have on the sideline. But what was omitted in some of this commentary was basic self-sufficiency, and that kind of gave the market signal that maybe they got to shift production around a little bit, and maybe in the meantime import more beans and work towards what the consumer, meeting the consumer demand versus what the government has stockpiled in the past. So that stimulated some buying interest in the beans overnight. Malaysia palm oil was higher again. The palm oil in general is seeing a disappointing recovery in production. So palm oil is kind of on fire again in the Asian market. Then that kind of stimulated the overall buy bean, sell corn, buy bean, sell wheat spread activity. That's been very, very popular here for the last year and a half. As the funds want to be positioned long in the soybean complex, feeling that there's some fairly good demand underneath the marketplace and that we're going to see some bean sales announced as we go through the week. Export shipments, strong. Man, we're shipping out what we sold. We're ahead of pace. We're looking at this morning shipping out over 60 million bushels of beans, 44 million bushels of corn, and 23 million bushels of wheat. So that export market continues to so-called be on fire, Todd.
Thursday, the United States Department of Agriculture at 11 a.m. will release the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. February, not normally one that has many changes in it, especially after the January numbers have come out, which represent the finals for the crop production for the United States for the year. However, there are some thoughts that maybe they might be able to adjust some of the South American soybean in particular production numbers. Do you think that'll happen? And if so, how will it come through?
We think they're going to take a stab at it. The Brazilian weather continues to be favorable. Early harvest activity is not up to the big numbers they were talking about or projecting, but we're seeing better than last year early yields coming out on the early beans coming out. Overall, last month, the Brazilian bean crop was pegged at 104 million metric tons. There's ideas we could probably be 104.5 million metric tons. The other area to watch is, of course, Argentina. Last month, they were at 57 million metric tons. There's projections as low as 51, 52 million metric tons, but the average guess is expected to be about 54.5 million metric tons, you know, slightly lower than the January report. We feel those numbers are fairly well priced into the marketplace, and we'll see how those numbers unfold. U.S.-wise, trade average for U.S. ending stocks on beans is going to be lowered by about 10 million bushels to 410 million bushels. And the corn estimates expect to be lowered by about 20 million bushels. On corn, a little larger ethanol usage and a little higher export number. And then the beans, of course, just a little higher export expectation number there, which should result in just a little lower ending stocks estimate.
Yeah, so we'll get to talk about those actually with you on Thursday afternoon. You and Merrill Crowley and Wayne Nelson will be in to take up the numbers on Commodity Week. We'll do that on Thursday afternoon, post that to the website by about 5 o'clock. And the other item is that you'll be over at the Beef House with us just about a month from now, in fact. On Tuesday the 7th of March, and we just put tickets on sale today, so I'm looking forward to having you over there and making sure that we got plenty of people to watch you and the rest of the crew. Have a lot of folks that are on our list to be at the Beef House like usual. Almost all of our regular analysts will be there for the day, and I appreciate you being along too.
Boy, I really enjoy that event. It's a chance to visit for everybody and a lot of good information shared there, so man, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he will join us at the All Day Ag Outlook. You can buy your tickets right now today. They're just $30 online at WILLAG.org. In today's agricultural news, let's start with free trade agreements. President Donald Trump has suggested changing the acronym of the North American Free Trade Agreement when renegotiating the trade deal. Trump wants to include an extra F in the term NAFTA. The extra F, he explained, would stand for fair. Most U.S. farm groups like the current U.S., Canada, and Mexico trade pact and do not want to see it dismantled. Trump says the current deal is very unfair to American workers and companies that do business in the United States. Agricultural trade between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. has skyrocketed in recent years after tariffs were reduced or eliminated under the agreement. President Trump, however, was quick to blast the current deal last week, saying he wants to see NAFTA renegotiated quickly. Mexico is a major foreign market for agricultural commodities. It is the number one buyer of U.S. corn. Meanwhile, the U.S. is a key importer of Mexican fruit, vegetables, and livestock. Well, the GMO labeling bill passed by Congress last year faces an uncertain future. The National Bioengineered Food Disclosure Standard passed by Congress last year preempts a patchwork of state laws mandating labeling of food products containing genetically modified organisms. However, the proposal was withdrawn under the new Trump administration. In addition, under a new executive order aimed at reducing regulations, USDA may need to find two other regulations to eliminate before it finalizes the rule in 2018. The American Soybean Association says it's unclear how exactly the executive order will impact the implementation of the GMO labeling law and other rules required by statute, but more direction is expected after the anticipated confirmation of Sonny Perdue as Secretary of Agriculture. Speaking of which, more than 650 agricultural organizations have endorsed President Trump's pick to lead the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Well, a Kansas City, Kansas federal court will hold the first of several class action lawsuit hearings against Syngenta over Viptera corn in June. The first trial is scheduled for the 5th of that month, according to an order issued last week in the U.S. District Court of Kansas. Syngenta is facing several lawsuits regarding MIR-162, that's a GMO strain, under the name AgriSure Viptera. The lawsuits claim the company should have inspected and prevented harvested Viptera corn from being shipped to China in 2013 and 14. And finally today, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee says President Donald Trump's pick to fill the Supreme Court vacancies, Neil Gorsuch, holds views of government and regulations that could prove favorable for agriculture. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa thinks Gorsuch interprets laws as they are intended, which could be key in depending the outcome of major environmental and land rights cases that affect agriculture.
I think people that fear too much government regulation, and Waters of the U.S. being an example of that, I think that they would be very relieved to where a guy like Gorsuch is coming from.
Gorsuch has said federal bureaucrats have been allowed to accumulate too much power at the expense of Congress and the courts. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It seems likely the price of soybeans at harvest this fall could be much lower than it is now. One of the options a farmer might consider because of this potential is choosing a different crop insurance plan. Federal crop insurance comes in two basic revenue protection forms, RP and ARP. RP stands for revenue protection, and ARP stands for area risk protection. The difference between the two, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnitke, is simple enough to understand.
RP is what most people buy, revenue protection. It is a farm-level product. It makes payments based on what happens to farm yields. ARP is a county-level product, so it makes payments based on what happens to county yields and county revenue, but it's county yields that enter in the equation rather than farm yields for RP.
It's the available coverage level under the ARP federal crop insurance option that put Schnitke's mind to work when he was considering how farmers should use the risk management program this season.
So ARP, the reason why I think farmers should consider it is because they have a 90% coverage level in ARP versus only going up to 85% on RP. This year, you know, we're probably looking at some more downside price risk on soybeans, and a 90% guarantee would be cover more of that price risk.
Moving up to a 90% coverage level increases the price below which crop insurance payments occur. Given a $10.20 projected February price and a 90% coverage level, harvest prices below $9.18 a bushel for soybeans in November would generate payments, given that the harvest yield equals the guaranteed yield. The 9.18 price compares to an $8.67 break-even price at an 85% coverage level and an 8.16 break-even at an 80% coverage level. Of course, there are some caveats when switching from RP to ARP.
So ARP, the thing that you will give up is farm-level coverage, so you won't have your individual yields covered, and you won't also have prevented planting or replant payments.
Again, ARP does not have prevented planting or replant payments, while RP does. The coverage on ARP begins when the crop is planted. Because ARP uses county yields in its calculations, a farm may not receive a payment if the farm has a poor yield and the county does not. The relative premiums on RP and ARP vary across counties. Not all counties will have a 90% ARP premium that's lower than the 85% RP policies. And finally, here's an important note about the crop insurance guarantee from Gary Schnitke. The CME Group soybean contract for November 2017 delivery currently is trading about $10.20 a bushel. A $10.20 per bushel projected price would be $1.35 higher than last year's projected price at $8.85. In and of itself, a higher projected price will offer additional revenue protection on soybeans without the need to consider the merits of RP versus ARP. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report on the 6th day of February. It's a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason from U of I Extension, and we're joined now by Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, one of the first things, thank you so much for agreeing to come over to the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House on Tuesday the 7th. That's just about a month away now. We opened our registration today, so folks that want to come see you and all the rest of the crew can do that at willag.org, willag.org. I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well. I appreciate you having me over.
Let's talk about what happened in the marketplace today. From your perspective, fairly quiet?
It was fairly quiet. I think, you know, we were expecting maybe a little bit of a follow through to the downside in the bean market, given the poor technical close on Friday. But China came in with some potential buying last night, and that kind of gave us a little bit of a surge higher. I think corn's just kind of wandering in its typical range it's been locked in for the last 90 days and not willing to trade much above the 200-day moving average. So pretty quiet day overall. Back and forth action remains the theme. As we look forward, moving forward, I guess we've got an S&D report out here on the 9th, so we'll see what the government does as far as adjustments to the South American crop. That'll probably be the only thing that's majorly adjusted in this monthly's S&Ds.
The Andersons have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think Brazil in general, I think, is going to be inched up. And Argentina, I think, is maybe the bigger question mark of, you know, how much downgrading will they do based on the flooding concerns early. Some people are only talking 2 to 2.5 million metric tons. Other people have said it could be larger than that. So Brazil, I think everyone expects the crop size to be raised. The bean crop for Argentina will probably be the one that could be a surprise.
So the numbers that I've seen, though, suggest that the Brazilian crop could be raised nearly as much or maybe even more than what Argentina may have lost at this point. Those look like a wash.
Yeah, I think they are pretty much expected to be a wash, irregardless of the magnitude of the downgrade in Argentina's crop. Brazil's crop has been excellent. Early bean yields have been very good from what we've heard, and makes the up move in the bean market even more surprising here today.
I made note that the November contract trailed behind the gains today in Chicago, too.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I think we talked about that on Commodity Week, about the July-Nov, the old crop, new crop spread, and how at some point with the world, if the South American crop is going to be fairly large, with the countries offsetting each other, and we plant potentially more acres of beans this year, how that spread will continue to invert, or will it widen it to a carry at some point in time.
And farmers have a couple of options to deal with that if they should like. One of them is to go ahead and make cash sales with you. The other is crop insurance setting month, which is in the midst of at this point. Looks like that will be a far better price than it was last year.
Yeah, it's a far better place, and I think the market obviously wants to encourage more acreage expansion, because even in the feed grains, we're awash plenty with world wheat stocks as well as world corn. So it's kind of a pick your poison, and I think the trade is trying to incent more acres, whether we believe we need them or not, into soybeans. So this is a good month for the market to sustain a price above $10, which last year we were around $8.85. for a February insurance average, so quite a bit better than last year.
An interesting way to put it. So pick your poison, pick the least uncomfortable of two options, which might have an awful lot of grain or oil seeds in one case around, I suppose. Hey, thanks so much. What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight is 354. New crop corn for fall 17, 368. Cash soybeans, 1002. Fall beans, 978. And new crop July wheat is 436.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Tomorrow I'll be traveling again. You can check that schedule out. I'll be in Mount Vernon and then McLeansboro with the Farm Credit folks, and then Sycamore on Wednesday. It is the sixth day of February 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, to take up the weather forecast. A little rain here at this point, and it's really very warm for the month of February. Can we expect more of the same?
Yeah, we do see more on the way here, Todd, across not only the Midwest, but across really the entire central and eastern U.S. This warmer than normal pattern looks to be basically locked into place at least for the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's not going to be anomalously warm every single day. And in fact, this week, there is going to be a brief shot of colder weather coming up the middle part of this week. But again, brief, only lasting a day or two before temperatures then quickly rebound back to warmer than normal levels. The core of Arctic cold will remain across Canada, and will also be spilling on the other side of the Northern Hemisphere in places such as Europe and Russia and China. But we're not seeing the big plunge of Arctic air into the lower 48, such as what we saw in early December. We're just not seeing that here as we go through the remainder of February. So with that, we see a warmer bias. There'll be some precipitation along with that, but overall kind of a quiet weather scenario across actually much of the central U.S. with the pattern here upcoming.
Right. So we'll have to be a little concerned about that, at least as it relates to insect populations at some later date. And we'll take that up eventually. We'll wait and see whether we get cold air sometime in March to really begin to thin out some of those populations. We better turn our attention, though, now to South America. Tell me about crop conditions in the primary growing regions.
Well, they continue to be in very good shape across the vast majority of South America acreage. That's true in Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Over the weekend, we saw widespread significant rains in the areas that need it the most. The what had been lone dry pockets in portions of Argentina picked up significant rainfall. And then in the northeastern areas of Brazil, which had been on the dry side, those areas picked up significant rainfall. And more rain's on the way, as the pattern will feature a lack of ridging over interior South America throughout the remainder of February, we feel. And that's going to continue to allow rains to develop with frontal systems in Argentina and southern Brazil, and then with the daily development of showers and storms across the northern sections of Brazil. You know, the question becomes, is some of the rainfall too heavy to be problematic? And we don't think so. There was some isolated heavier rain over the weekend in central Buenos Aires, but it was very localized and actually happened in some of what had been the driest pockets there in Argentina. So we do not see the pattern as being really problematic or reverting back to those heavy rain events, such as what we saw in early Jan and late Dece.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. Again, I'm traveling tomorrow, so we'll talk with Wayne Nelson a bit early, but we'll have a good show for you tomorrow afternoon. I'll be in Mount Vernon in the morning and then McLeansboro in the evening tomorrow and Sycamore on Wednesday.